Hello and welcome to the Valley Church Duncan podcast. My name is Wes Lindy and I'm the lead pastor of Valley Church. I'm happy you've joined us today. In this sermon, Christy Lindy is speaking on March 24th, 2024 on Matthew 7, 24 to 27 with our Sermon on the Mount series. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to continue getting our podcast, consider subscribing to our channel. For more information about our church, you can check out our website at thevalleychurch.ca. And now, let's take you right into the sermon.
Valley Church this morning. I'm so glad you're here today, and let's just take a minute and pray together before we go into our passage for the day. Dear God, I thank you that we have the opportunity to gather here this morning. I thank you for your presence with us and your gentle invitation to peace in you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to all of our hearts as we look into your word, and as we seek to know you more and more together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I see some new faces here today, and if you don't know me, my name is Christy, and I'm married to our lead pastor, Wes. And my family moved here to Duncan a year and a half ago with the crazy idea of starting a church. So in the process of moving, we sold our house in Langley and came over to the island here to house hunt while Wes was speaking at Camp Carnals for the week. So we had been looking at houses from Langley online, and everything was selling so fast because the market was super hot a year and a half ago, and we didn't know what was going to happen. But in the process, we found this beautiful house that had huge windows and a spacious kitchen, and even glimpses of the ocean from the top floor. And the housing market, as I said, was so wild that by the time we made it over to the island to look at it, this house had sold. So we came over and we looked at multiple houses, and everything was selling so fast. And we looked at this one house that I did not want to buy. It was green in every single room. I have nothing against green, but this was a lot of green, which happens to be my son's favorite color. And the worst was the basement suite, because it was just packed with things, like from top to bottom, every surface was covered, and it smelled bad. And the things were random, like feathers, and dozens and dozens and dozens of pairs of slippers. I think she probably made them and sold them or something as a business. But needless to say, I was put off by the clutter and the smell. But our realtor, he was smart. He said, "You have to buy this house." I mean, I don't know if he said it that strongly, but he said, "I have no idea why this house is sitting here on the market in this price range, and you have to make an offer. This house is an amazing deal." So we bought the house, and we moved in, and we painted over some of the green, and we scrubbed it clean, and we cleaned the carpets, and it doesn't smell so much now. And I love our 1970s BC house, and it's perfect for us. So I'm very thankful that we bought it. So then, after we moved into this house, it needed a bit of work in the kitchen, and one of our friends texted us and said, "Hey, there's a free island on used Cowichan right now, a free kitchen island. So I'll go with you. We'll pick it up and put it into your kitchen." And we were like, "Okay, fantastic. We need it." So we went to the house on used Cowichan, and it turned out that it was the beautiful house that we'd looked at online with the ocean views from the top floor. And the owners were doing a reno, and they ripped out the kitchen and the floors, and there was a gigantic crack through the foundation of the house that ran all the way through the middle, along with cracks all over the place that were hidden by the floors. And this house, though it had the ocean views, was on the edge of a cliff. And the foundation of this house was not solid. And I was so thankful for our realtor that steered us towards our 1970s house with the firm foundation, and so thankful that we have a house with a solid structure. So today we are nearing the end of our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're gonna open up in our Bibles together. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. If you don't have one, we have free ones on the back ledge over there. You're welcome to take one, and you're even welcome to keep it and take it home if you don't have one. And And I think it's also going to be up on the screen here behind me, and you can follow along that way too. But our passage today is Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples and others gathered. So let's read. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So this is a well-known parable, and if you grew up in Sunday school in the 80s, you might remember singing about it. Does anyone know the little song, like, "Don't build your house on Sandyland"? No? Okay, anyways, it was one of my favorites when I was a kid. It was fantastic. And this parable, was taught by Jesus over 2,000 years ago, but it's a metaphor that is still pretty easy to understand today. We know that the foundation for a home was vital 2,000 years ago, and it's still vital today. Although Jesus was a carpenter, so it's actually super cool that he would then use a building metaphor here. My family likes to camp in the summer, and every year we take our kids to Rathtrevor in Parksville. And when they were little, we would often build a sand castle in the morning, and then spend the rest of the afternoon defending it from the incoming tide. Needless to say, we were unable to save a single sandcastle, and sand is not a good foundation or a good building material either in this case. So Jesus's listeners are presented here with two alternatives, the foolish way and the wise way, and two building places, the rock and the sand. All through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers two choices, the broad path and the narrow path, the storing up of treasures on earth, or the storing up of treasures in heaven, serving God or serving money. And the two choices are summed up in this parable, the foolish way of building a house on the sand, or the wise way of building a house on the rock. And as Tristan spoke about last week, this choice is the choice between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom just of our own selfish desires. So clearly, we would all desire to have a house built on a firm foundation, not like the house with the cracked foundation on the edge of the cliff that Wes and I have looked at online. So how do we do this? How do we build our house upon the rock? Verse 24 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. There are two instructions. First, the wise hear the word. And it's not enough just to listen. Someone can go to the doctor and get a prescription and learn everything about your condition on WebMD, but unless you follow the doctor's orders and actually take your medicine, you're not going to get well. So we need to hear these words, and then the second instruction is put them into practice. We have to actually do them. Last week, Tristan spoke about how he could tell his wife he loves her over and over and over and over again, but if he treats her poorly, those words mean nothing. Our actions actually matter. In this passage, we learn that we must hear the words of Jesus and then put them into practice through obedience to build our houses on the firm foundation. Later in the Bible, James addresses this in James 1, verses 22 to 25. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. It's really important not just to listen and learn the words, but to do them. The Sermon on the Mount has some hard teaching. Jesus teaches on hard topics like divorce, lust, and money. And if you missed these messages, you can look back on our YouTube channel for the church and listen to any of them. But these are hard teachings. And if we listen to them and put them into practice, them, we will be building a house that will stand. We can listen to the teaching, memorize the teaching, stand here and preach the teaching, or even eat the teaching. The Sermon on the Mount is missing from my Bible because my son Benjamin ate it when he was a baby. He just ripped out those three chapters, which seems ironic because it's such a vital passage of Jesus' teaching. So I have been trying to memorize it to make up for the fact that it's missing from my Bible, but that's hard. I'm working on it. But even if we can listen to the words and memorize them and teach them and do all of these things, but unless we put the teaching into practice, we are building on a sandy foundation. Jesus' way is harder. It's harder, but it's better. It's harder to forgive than to plan out a delicious revenge scheme when someone hurts us. It's harder to remove the planks in our own eyes before accusing someone who has hurt us. It's harder to surrender our control and not worry about what we are going to eat and what we are going to wear or what tomorrow will bring. It's harder to trust God with our finances rather than taking control of them ourselves. It's harder to choose the narrow road when the broad road is so welcoming and easy, and it's the way our culture leads us. Wes referenced a couple of weeks ago in his message the opening of The Chosen, which has all the fish in a school swimming in one direction, and then one solitary fish turns and swims in the opposite direction. Jesus' way is harder, but it leads to peace. It's the way that leads to participation in the kingdom of God. It's the way that relinquishes our own control and puts trust in a God who is good and loves us. It talks more about this in the Old Testament in Psalm verse 1. And you can turn there if you have your Bibles. But it says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Here again we see that there are two paths, two choices, two kingdoms. There is the wise way and the foolish way. Have you ever been in a gigantic thunderstorm? I know we don't have as many here in Duncan, but I went to Bible school in Saskatchewan at Briarcrest in the Prairies, which is actually the school that partners with Camp Conos for our Kaleo program with our interns. They come from that program back there. And when I was there, I experienced some pretty amazing prairie thunderstorms. They were powerful. And the house built on the sand, when faced with the stormy winds and the rising streams, will come down in a great crash. One thing that we can all know for certain is that storms will come, regardless of where we have built our houses. Jesus says in John 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trouble, But take heart, I have overcome the world. We all face challenges. Sometimes, all of us together, like in the pandemic, or most often on our own, we face sickness, loss, disappointment, discouragement. We know that in this world we will have trouble, and sometimes the house might be shaking with the force of the winds, but with Christ as our foundation, we will stand firm. It may not feel like solid ground when you are living through the torrents, but if you have built your life on the foundation of Christ, your house will stand secure. When I look back at my life, which I can do a bit now that I'm officially middle-aged, or as my kids say, I'm officially really old, I can see that throughout all the storms and all the trials that I have faced, that God was holding me in his hand throughout it all, even though when I couldn't feel it at the time. We all have a choice. If we want to follow Jesus, obedience isn't an option. We can't pick and choose which commandments to follow. It's a requirement. Tristan mentioned last week how there is nothing we can do to earn our salvation through obeying the rules. So this isn't a matter of being good enough to be in the kingdom of God. This is something that we are going to mess up sometimes. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to get it wrong. And that's one thing I really love about this passage. It says in verse 24 there, he uses the word practice. Whoever hears these words and puts them into practice. Practice indicates we aren't going to always get this perfect. I play the flute, and I remember when I was doing my Royal Conservatory exams, I would have to practice my scales over and over and over and over again, and I made so many mistakes that my parents would have had to listen to very patiently. But I never gave up, and eventually I learned how to play beautiful pieces. And in the same way, as we practice the teachings of Jesus and we make mistakes, we can confess them to him and keep practicing it and keep practicing them. Perfection is not a requirement for his kingdom, just the practicing of these teachings. And as we each have our individual choices about where to build our individual lives on the firm foundation of obeying the teaching of Jesus, or on the sandy foundation of not putting his words into practice, we are now in the process of building our church on this same foundation. And Christ is the head of the church, and we are all members of his body. We pursue these teachings of Jesus together, listening to them and putting them into practice. And as we do so, we build a strong base for our church by practicing the teachings of Jesus, not just listening to them, but doing them. We will grow stronger together, and we don't have to do it alone. So this next week is the last week before Easter. As Wes mentioned earlier, it's Palm Sunday. So I just want to encourage us all this week to reflect on all the teachings we've had throughout the Sermon on the Mount and take some time to pray about where we might need to put them into practice in our lives right now. Maybe you're scared right now and have a situation you need to surrender to Jesus. Maybe you have a brother or a sister in Christ you need to go to and reconcile with. Maybe you are being tempted to cheat in some way on your tax return or in school. I don't know what everyone's individual situations are here today and where the Holy Spirit may be prompting you, but let's put Jesus' words into practice together. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you this morning in trust that your way is the better way. Lord, be with us all as we journey together here as part of your church. Help us, Lord, with these hard teachings and guide us as we put them into practice. Bring to our minds the places in our lives where we aren't choosing your way. We surrender these to you. Help us confess and get back up again when we fail and keep practicing your ways. Thank you, God, for your assurance that a house built on you is strong. Thank you for your love and compassion and your strength that holds us strong throughout the storms we face. I pray, Lord, that we would know your peace. In Jesus' name.